thank you. Because he loved me, that's why I love him, and he gets sweeter with every passing day. Oh, I was nothing when he found me. Oh, in mercy he
welcome you all to the First Gospel Church tonight. It's off, it just feels weird to me. But however you feel comfortable, let your toes roll out like he says. We've come here to magnify and worship the Lord, right? We should feel very comfortable here in this place with the Spirit of the Lord, where there's liberty, the Spirit of the Lord is, and we have liberty here tonight. There's no novices, I believe, in this building. We've all been to church before. We know how this works. How does it work? It works when we just come in here and lift up his name. When we raise our hands and we say, Lord, it's you, Lord. Not me, not them, it's you, Lord. I'm just going to come and trust in you. Brother Painter, let me give you some honor from a long time back. I really did appreciate, and I don't know how many years ago it was now, what he named the days, if you will. You know, marvelous Monday, terrific Tuesday, wonderful Wednesday, tremendous Thursday, fantastic Friday. It's Saturday. I mean, really, does Saturday need anything else? Hey, it's Saturday. You know, because I do. I use that on my customers. Hey, it's wonderful Wednesday. You know, and they're like, wow, this guy's annoying. But you know, I want that Spirit of the Lord to, you can't tell me that some things Jesus said, I'm not comparing myself to Jesus, but that they didn't annoy certain people. Those Pharisees and Sadducees on a daily basis were annoyed with what Jesus said. Did you hear what he said? Are you kidding me? Bust down the temple and raise it up in 3 days? Whatever. Okay? So, you know, he was saying things to provoke people's thought. Well, you know, that's some of our light that we get a chance to shine in this world. And I was looking out here tonight, and from one perspective, and by the way, this is Sister Lynette's fault that now I'm moving around, okay? Because we needed that. We needed that one more song. I don't know if anyone else, we needed that one more song, and that was perfect. It was like, boom. That was it. Boom. Okay, I'll just a little pow, you know. Needed that pick-me-up. Not that the Lord hasn't been there for me today, but there's an old song. I can't remember the name of it. I know Swanger, Sister Smith, Lynette might remember this one. Something in relation to, I think it's a sister is singing it, and she's talking about how the kids were crying, the sport pill coffee on my, I mean, it's just like a long litany of things that went around that day. The devil's beating me down, or however it is. You know the song I'm talking about? Well, you know, the good thing I don't believe in a personal one, because, you know, I'd have been like, he's been following me all day, that rascal. But I'm thankful to be able to come in here tonight and lift my hands up and praise the mighty name of Christ. Praise him. Appreciate him. But I was looking around here, and I thought one negative aspect, if I want to look at that, because we have a choice each and every day, how I want to look at things, I could say, wow. Well, there's not a lot of people here tonight. Uh-oh. What's going to happen tonight? You know what's going to happen tonight? Whatever we reach out for. Whatever we pull down from God, because as I said before, we're not novices. We know what it means. Well, even the young people may not understand this, and I don't remember it, but we know how to prime the pump. We know how to get in here and pull on that Spirit. We know what it means to strive. We know what it means to truly push, and sometimes it's a little bit of a struggle. It's not that God's Spirit isn't here. It's not that God's Spirit isn't available, but my spirit can sometimes get in the way. My spirit can keep me from getting what God has in store for me. It's here, you know. Geez, I don't know. What did Jesus do? Well, you know, he gave up his heavenly deal in heaven, came down here, was born into this flesh, dealt with it for 30 years, blah, blah, blah. He ministered. Oh, then he died on the cross. Woo! Okay, I think Jesus did enough. I don't know about you guys, right? So maybe I need to give something here tonight. Maybe I need to get up here and lift my hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity. That's what I was looking out here tonight and saying, you know what? Look at how many special individuals are here tonight. Look at how many called saints of God are in this building tonight. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in His name, there is He also. Guess what? We got two or three in here, don't we? We got a lot more than two or three in here. So the Spirit of the Lord is here tonight. In as much as I'll accept it, in as much as I'll lift it up, that's how much of the Spirit of the Lord, not just me personally, I'm speaking as a group here, as much as we pull on Him. And I was thinking about that, though, in relation to something Brother Smith said Sunday day, just about the end times. I should say, in the Jewish world. How at that time when Christ was born, how if you just looked around at the religious, the political unrest, just the world at that time, no one would have said, hey, you know what? I think the Messiah is going to be born any moment now. I think He's coming. Ooh, it could be right now. They weren't. It was just as in the time of Noah, they were eating and drinking and giving in marriage, going about their merry way, doing their own thing, because there's no way the Messiah would be sent right now. I mean, look at the trouble we've got in Rome. Look at how we've got a new guy up on the throne. You know, this crazy loon that doesn't even really deserve to be a king over Israel or Judah is up there with Herod. I mean, think about those things from the Jewish standpoint. It was anarchy. It was chaos. You had zealots that were trying to overthrow the existing government. It was a really crazy time. And yet amidst that, God said, but it's My time. It's My time to send the Savior to the world. To be born amongst all that. Now, how many people, and we know, you know, we're coming really close to the season where a lot of people get together and thankfully talk about the birth of Christ. And we've heard those stories, the story many times about how, you know, you had the shepherds that were in the field. You know, a handful of people got a chance to see that the initiation, the beginning of what was to be the journey of our Savior to the end of our salvation, to the beginning of our salvation and the end of His journey. But just a handful of people. That's where my mind was going. And when I was looking around here, I was realizing today in this world, there's a lot of unrest. I mean, right now, I did a no-no today, Brother Brett Weininger. I haven't listened to it in probably 4 or 5 years. But after the election last night, this morning, I went, I'm just really curious about what's on talk radio right now. So I switched over there, and oh my goodness, it was just like the 4th of July, so much happiness because the Republicans have both the House and the Senate, and they're just like, things are going to change, and ha, 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 Obama's going to be a lame duck, and blah, 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 blah. But was that where God is moving today? Now, I'm not saying God doesn't have a hand in it, but is that what His purpose is today? Has it changed because of what happened on the 4th? No. No. His purpose is still the restoration of the body of Christ. His purpose is still to establish that white throne judgment. His purpose is to continue to make that, I don't know, pinkish, reddish horse. It's starting to get those white hairs. It sure doesn't look like it in this world today, but I come in here and I see saints of the Most High God who have that vision, who realize that's what's most important. This is our calling today, to be looking for that. You know, we're laborers right now. I was thinking also, and why the Lord lets me, of all people, get analogies about construction sites who I can't put a nail in a board, I have no idea, okay? But it happens, okay? I'm sorry. But I was thinking about in a building process. Whenever, at first you've got, let's just say, a plot of land and there's trees and brush and everything on it. It's beautiful, but there's no purpose behind it other than nature. But someone comes along with a plan, with a blueprint, okay? But in those first stages, what do they have to do? They have to clear all that brush out. They have to get it down to the ground. They may have to dig in there to get a firm foundation. Well, that wasn't our calling here in this church tonight. That was done many years ago. Those men and women who have been on this road before us, that was what they did. But they did their part, but they're now no longer here. Then you have people who put, who actually lay the foundation, that cement, that concrete foundation, and they have a part to play. Now, each one of these groups, most of the time at construction sites, they are total different crews. You don't usually have the guys that lay the cement, they don't come back later to do the electrical work, do they? Oh, no, because that guy is a cement guy. He probably doesn't know anything about the electrical. You don't want him doing that. You want him to lay a good, firm foundation. So then you've got the foundation is laid with the concrete. And then they start putting up the walls. They start putting up the structure itself. But it's still, it's just a skeletal frame. It doesn't really look like a true, you know, the framers there. It doesn't look, you don't want to be in the building yet. There's no roof on it. It's still just a structure. So there's those people who come in and put that in there. And then you have other, there's other crews that continue to come in. You've got people who put the sheetrock on. You've got carpenters who are putting in the meat, the guts of the building. And then at the very end, you've almost got this building, but it's not complete yet. Then there's the finishers, the painters, the finished carpenters, those that are putting the final touches on it. Do you not feel tonight that God is calling us? We're down at the tail end of this. We're not laying the foundation anymore, but we're moving forward in this message tonight. I want to say I appreciate that, that we have an opportunity. You know, there's a lot of people out here in Little Rock that they have no idea what's going on here tonight. But Brother Stewart, how many do we have in here tonight? 43. But in the city of Little Rock, there are at least 43 people who have been let in on this secret. Shh. It's not really a secret, but that's what it almost feels like. It's a precious gift that we have been given today. What is our part to play? You know, we may not be, I may not be, let's just say this, I may not be, and in reality, I'm really not a finished carpenter, okay? Wouldn't think of touching something. I would make it look like a Picasso. It could be a table, and next thing you know, it looks like a work of art for him. But that may not be my calling. What I may be one of those people who's just putting helping to put a sink in a kitchen or a bathroom, or help to put in, frame up a window, or something of that nature. That may be the part that I'm called to play. But bless the Lord, I want to play that part. And if that means coming in here and lifting my hands on a wonderful Wednesday night, if it means coming in here and just exhorting my brothers and sisters and saying, hey, we have a great opportunity here tonight. Do you feel that? Do you feel that the Spirit of the Lord that's moving on us? I was thinking about going back to that, about the time that last, right when Christ was born. What came to my mind, though, was about Simeon. In, I believe it's in Luke, in chapter 2, in 25, I was thinking about Simeon in relation to, I would like to not have to be him because of what his calling directly was, but I was thinking about that from the standpoint of he had the opportunity to see what was coming. By the Spirit moving on him. In verse 25 it says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Are we waiting for the consolation of Israel? Are we waiting? When I say that, I mean truly, are we looking for that white throne judgment? Aren't we yearning for that? Aren't we hungering for that day, Sister Inez? We've heard it spoke of. You know Simeon had heard for his entire life about the prophecies about the Messiah. Maybe he had been in the temple many times and the priest had been reading from the book of Isaiah. He was wounded for our iniquities. He was in going through there and born of a virgin woman. And he had that yearning inside for maybe, you know, wouldn't it be awesome if someday I got a chance to see the Savior of Israel, the salvation of the world? Little did he know that God would move on him and he would have that opportunity. Whose name was Simeon, and he was, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles. Hey, that's us here tonight. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Look at what Simeon was able to see. And you know, there's even something from a spiritual aspect for us today in that. I don't know, having had the opportunity to be a body brat, years back, before Brother Smith and Brother Linger really laid that foundation for a better understanding, I'll say, of the time period, what seemed to be the going thing was 15 years. In another 15 years, this is going to happen. In the next 15 years, this will happen. Well, that came and went, and came and went again. It came and went a number of times, not in my life, but in my family's life, explained to me about what that vision was. But today we have a more clear understanding that, you know, even if that time element is still off, even if that's the way it is, and we don't know that, I pray, Lord, come quickly. But I can still, just like Simeon, say, God, I can rest in this, that I know that he will have his perfect church again. I know, I have seen enough here. I have heard enough here to know that there will be a glorious church once again. There will be a rider of that white horse, and it is Jesus. And we'll see that. Whether I see it, as Job said, I'll see him with these eyes. He knew he was going to be dust, but he also knew he had an opportunity for a resurrection. Isn't that a glorious, wonderful vision we have tonight? To know that we have that opportunity, that we have seen the body of Christ is coming up again, and we are a part of that. And that's worth shouting about. That's worth lifting up our hands and saying, yes, Lord, I'll go. Yes, Lord, I appreciate that. And to that, let me just say, we had a smaller band tonight too. But I was sure blessed by them. I was sure blessed by the trumpet in Zion we had tonight. The trombone. When they were playing up there, all that came to my mind was two things. I was thinking about, once again, numbers. I was thinking about Gideon. And I was thinking about the children of Israel marching around Jericho. Okay? People have called, we know we're considered a peculiar people. And in this world, Chelsea was hit with this recently. I hadn't heard this for a while. But this girl just starts inundating her with questions when she found out she was one of those Pentecostal people. Are you one of them holy rollers? I mean, I hadn't heard that term in so long. Do you speak in them strange tongues? You know? But think about that with being a peculiar people. Here, the children of Israel are marching around a city. I mean, you know, they're the first Macy's Day Parade, going around Jericho, just, you know, hoot-de-doo. And if I remember correctly, they weren't saying anything for those first 6 days. They weren't saying a single thing, just. Marching, you know, I don't know how big Jericho was. I don't suppose it was a small city. You know, they were marching around the city. And can you imagine, if anyone's ever seen VeggieTales, the little French peas on top? What are you doing down there? You crazy people? You know, looking at them going, this is crazy. What are these nuts doing? They're just walking around the wall. until that seventh day when they had marched around seven times. And then what did they do? They shouted and they blew their horns and the wall came tumbling down. When I was hearing that trumpet and that trombone tonight, I was just getting that visual. And then think about Gideon, how he's went through all those thousands of people that were with him originally, and then it just kept going down, going down, going down, till next thing you know, whoo, how many? 300? Yeah, we got this. Lord, I really hope you did send me. But he had that, they had that lamp covered up. They had that trumpet in their hand. Those are some odd weapons of war. Okay? I'm just saying, those are odd weapons of war. If you go to anyone in the military and you say, yeah, I'm going to take a lamp and a trumpet, and that's how I'm going to win a battle, you'll be committed very soon. You'll be hugging yourself all day long. Because that's not a way to win a traditional war. Okay? I'm just saying, okay? I'm not a fighter, and I know that. But they were out there. And when a time came, they broke that light. They let their light shine, and they blew that trumpet and said, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And what happened? A great tumult came. The people started fighting amongst themselves, and they demolished them. That is the God we serve tonight. He is no different. Now, thankfully, okay, I'm not have to carry around a trumpet and a lamp and go fight some crazy people who want to kill me. All I have to do is let my light shine here. All I have to do is say, yes, I am a holy roller. Not with pride, but with humility, because just like that song said, God showed mercy on me. God said, you sinner boy, while you were yet in sin, I died for you on the cross. I said, yes, you can go. Blessed be His wonderful name. Blessed be His wonderful name. That is our Jesus today. What did He do for us? He did everything in that right there. All He's expecting of me is to come and go along, is to learn how to be that sheep that can be led of Him. And boy, it sounds easy and rolls off the tongue. But when I get into... See, I think we throw Adam under the bus too much. You know, I guess because Adamic nature makes much more sense than the Philic nature. Okay? Or the Lenetic. See, it just doesn't work as well, right? So we say Adamic nature. But, you know, this spirit I have right here gets in the way. Because I say, I don't become a sheep and say, yes, Lord. I turn into that goat and say, but I want to go this way. But I want to go that way. I do my own will. And we know, we're learning, that's iniquity. But I want to come in here tonight and I want to lift His name up. I want to come in here tonight and I want to praise Him. Because He's worthy of all praise. Because of the mercy and the grace He's shown to me. I didn't do anything at all to merit that. But there are things I can do to void it. You know, God giveth grace to the humble. So therefore, if I have a proud heart, if I say my nature comes before His nature, He can't help me. I loved how Brother Smith put it so simple the other day. That unforgivable sin that God will not forgive is the one you won't repent of. I mean, that was like, wow, that's simple. That's really cool. That makes sense. He can't forgive me if I don't ask for forgiveness. He can't lead me if I don't give myself, if I'm not willing and obedient to trust in Him. You know, how many fought Goliath that day? How many answered the call that day? One. How many Hebrew boys were thrown into the fiery furnace? Three. I've always wondered, I don't know if y'all, where was Daniel? Was he like on vacation or maybe another? I don't know. I'll have to ask him, hey, where were you that day? Anyway, I'm just saying though, there were only three. How many Jews were there in Babylon at that time? Were there only three? Or were there thousands of Jews, but only three were thrown in the furnace? How many were thrown into a lion's den? One. How many disciples, true disciples, followed Christ? 12. We're in good company. We're in good company here tonight. The 40-some-odd people who are here, with the Spirit of God working in our life, what can be put before us that we can't do? What can't we do for Him if we'll just trust in Him and lean on Him to lead us and guide us? What can this world put before us? What can't be conquered? You show me your mountain, I'll show you my God. You show me your trouble, your trial, your tribulation, just trust in Him. And do I know that that's easier said of a pulpit than done? I'm learning it day by day. But that's what we have to just do. He's not asking us to finish this today. He's just asking of me to just take care of today. I have this time right now is what I have. I don't have tomorrow. I don't have next week. I may plan for next month. I may think about years down the road. But what I have is right now. This is what I have. And this is my time to lift up my Jesus. To lift Him up and say, thank you for those songs of worship. Thank you for that opportunity to lift up the name of the Lord. Because He is a strong tower and we do run into it. And we do feel the safety. Why? Because we've been taught about it. I don't want to take that for granted. So that's what I had on my heart. It just, the Lord was quickening that to me. I really felt to just, you know, I want to trust in You more, Lord. I want to give You glory. I want to give You honor. And it doesn't matter if we have one or 300. It doesn't matter how many are in a building. What I was thinking about is, right now, this truly is our training ground. Right now, all of us that are here, I'm doing things on my job in the natural sense I would never have thought I would have done in the past. But how did I get to do those things? A lot of times my boss said, here, do it. I didn't have a choice. So I either did it or I failed. Or I would lose my job if I refused. So I had to just say, okay, I may not be comfortable doing this. I may not want to do this. But I know I have to do this. This is the next step. This is how I have to mature in my career, my natural career. And now some of those things, it's old hat now. It's not a big deal. Well, I want to do the same thing with the Lord. You know, I want to reach out more to our brothers and sisters out here. I want to, if I'm walking downtown, you know, there's a lot of people that could use the Lord downtown. I don't know if any of you have been out downtown recently. When was the last time maybe someone said to them, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Well, yes, I do. Well, what's the next question I should ask them? Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? See, just saying that, I get scared thinking about that. I don't know that I could do that, okay? And I've become a pretty outgoing person. But I don't know if I have enough courage. But shame on me for that. Shame on me for not having enough courage because of what He's done for me. So I want to just get up here tonight and just say, hey, the pulpit is open. If you've got a song, sing it. If you've got a testimony, say it. There are testimonies I've never heard out here. Or it may have been a long time. How did you get led to the Lord? How did He deal with your heart? What did He do to make you look this way? How did He touch you? I don't know, but I may need that tomorrow. So I'm asking you, for me, please, don't hide it under a bushel. Let me know. I would love to know what your testimony is. Some of you, most of you have heard my testimony. Most of you know me growing up here as a small child, born in the old church and a long time ago, and coming up in the school, being there for 13 years, being one of those knuckleheads that didn't appreciate what I had and selling all I had and going spinning it out in the world. But thankfully, God having enough mercy and grace that He had planted those seeds in my heart, and I couldn't stay there because I knew I didn't belong. I don't know if I was a circle peg in a square hole or a square peg in a round hole. I don't know. I think I should have been a square because a square has got those four sides and it can sit stable on the ground. Whereas a circle is all the time rolling around, right? So I'm fine that I was a square peg in a round hole in this world. But bless the Lord. See, that was my testimony. That's how I came back here. And that was 14 years ago now. Seems like yesterday. Seems like yesterday that I was up there putting my nails into that pew so hard because I didn't want to give up, yet I knew I had to. What's your testimony? How did God lead you to the body of Christ? You know, I love hearing my mom's testimony. It's one of those weird ones that my family was around the body multiple times. My grandfather used to paint with Brother Liniger, yet he didn't come in that way. He came in through another way. It's just so interesting how God moves in His people's lives. So don't forget, and I remember, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, there was a sister here years ago, I think it was Sister Joanne Goodson, that someone had given her a card, and it was like a year or so before she ever came and visited the church. You never know what kind of influence that you have on other people's lives. But we have to share that light first. You have to take it from out under that bushel and say, Lord, here am I, use me. So tonight, take your liberty. Hey, it's open. The well is open. If you need to be prayed for, the brothers can gather, we'll pray for you. If you need a healing, if you want a touch of the Holy Ghost, it's still here tonight. This is none other than the house of the Lord, where His Spirit flows freely. Not because of me, not because of anyone, but because of Him. And because we have the Holy Ghost dwelling in us. So take your liberty tonight. I'll go ahead and take us to prayer. I know that the meeting, is it started already? It's going on right now. Let's remember the Spencer Church. We know what it's like to host a meeting, to have the wonderful people of God with them. Let's remember that they get something great accomplished in this meeting and feel the wonderful Spirit of the Lord. Then we remember Brother Crow and Sister Crow. Truly miss them. Pillars in this church, and when they're not here, I know they're missed. Also, Brother Fleming, has anyone heard how he did after his procedure? Or was it I thought it was yesterday. Okay, well, I don't know. Well, I know Brother Talley has his number. Maybe someone can. It was yesterday? Well, let's remember him tonight as he's recuperating. Any other needs that we have here tonight? I know Sister Cindy's mother. Just remember, Brother and Sister Wallace, they're both suffering tonight. They desire our prayers. Any of us have any? Sister Michelle? Sister Michelle has been sick, desires our prayers. Brother Thompson? Let's remember Brother David Thompson had a heart operation. I mean, it's an artery. Well, I mean, anything in that area, I don't want him doing that to me. That's a big deal. I mean, that's one of those. Let's remember him. Let's lift him up in his recovery. That's definitely, let's remember him with that artery. Sister Abraham. Remember Sister Janine having flu-like symptoms and her family. You know, those of us who have children and others in the household, it's just that wonderful time to be able to pass that love around to everybody. So let's pray that that doesn't happen with them. Sister Natalie? Just remember Sister Natalie, she's going to be tested for allergies. My grandfather's going to go for a cochlear implant. Hopefully that'll take and it will help him. He's also traveling now as well with my father, so if you remember them. Any other special needs that we have here tonight before we take these to the Lord? All right, if everyone will go ahead and stand. Let's call out in the name of the Lord and let Him know that we know that He has our needs on His mind right now. We want to bring them before Him. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You, Lord, for all that You do for us, God. Thank You, Lord. We ask You to help us, Lord. Dear Jesus, even in this service tonight, dear God, the wonderful saints of God that have gathered in Spencer, Lord, help them to fill Your Spirit, dear God. Move on You, and You move on them in a great, wonderful way, and those that are there from Little Rock can bring something back to us here, Lord. Those that are not here tonight, dear God, the ones that are sick, Lord, the crows, Lord, and touch them, let them know that they're missed, dear God, and touch their lives, dear Jesus, each and every one of these. Brother David Thompson, who's had a procedure, dear God, touch him, help him to recover. Lord, we love You, and we appreciate You, Lord. We know You are the great physician, Lord. You can take care of these needs, Lord, no matter what they are, physical, natural, spiritual. You are the one, Lord, that we call out on, dear God. Help Sister Michelle, Lord, in the way she's felt. And my grandfather and the procedure he's coming up against, Lord. Dear Jesus, we call on You, Lord. We ask You for Your help. Dear Jesus, we thank You for all that You do for us, Lord. Wonderful Savior, Lord. Oh, God, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for everything that You do for us. Dear Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.
Yeah. testify. And I said, okay. So that's what I'm doing. I just want to, you know, give God the credit because he's the one that did it. I've been, a lot of you know that I've been battling with my blood pressure, high blood pressure. And the highest was, what, about 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, I don't know, when Sister Lynette and Bonnie were helping me monitoring it. It was 200 over 111 or 17, something like that. But anyways, and it just kept going up and down, up. Not down, down, but down like the lowest 159, and that's high for me, over 94. Well, and I've been, you know, calling every day. Everybody's like, you need to tell. Well, I have, believe me. I've been telling them, talking to them every day. I leave messages, and I even talked to the nurse yesterday. Well, but I talked to her yesterday. The reason I called is for my husband's medication. In the meantime, I said, I'm still waiting for my blood pressure, the new one. But then it dawned on me. That was Tuesday. Yeah, because we were at the vote, at the church voting. I thought, wow, Sunday, you know, I was hurting. And, you know, I knew when my blood pressure is high and all that. But, you know, it's going to be high at home. It's going to be high here, you know. And I refuse to stay at home with if I'm going to die, I'm going to die. I want to die here in church with my family. Well, I was just praying, you know, praising the Lord, you know, just really getting down. And it, you know, those two words again kept coming to my mind, trust, faith. And I know that God's been wanting me to trust him more on not just my health, but financial needs or whatever else. And I said, okay, Lord, I give up. I surrender. You be my blood pressure medicine. You make this go down normal. And I have not had any high blood pressure since Sunday. Today's Wednesday, 4 days. And I praise him for it. I thank him for it because he's the one. And maybe he's trying to teach me that I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want me to take another one. I don't know. But I just told him, I said, Lord, whatever you want for me, you know, because I know that I don't like drugs, and that is the only medicine that I take. I do take a Flexeril for when I overdo it in the daytime, you know, and I still think I'm in my 20s or 30s, you know, and I'm like at night, oh my goodness, I'm hurting everywhere, so I take a Flexeril, and that's about it. But I know there's some people that take like 12 or 15 pills, but eventually they don't do nothing but just develop more pain or more problems. And so I thought, Lord, I'm trusting in you. You know, I am going to put all my trust in you. If it's for you, for me to get that medicine, they will send. If not, you're going to have to be the one to lower it for me, because I'm doing everything I can, you know. And so I just didn't want to go home without thanking him. I've been thanking him every day, but I, you know, just little things happened since then about losing stuff and finding them. And my grandchildren are a witness to my, I got this parcel and I, you know, hate it. But I took it out in the car and this morning. And I thought I had left it in the car, and I just knew it. I said, Elijah, I put it right here. And I bet you it fell out when I went to pick up Hannah at school. I just know it fell on the parking lot. And I bet you it's all squished up now. I said, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do, you know? And so I think he said, like you said, pray. So I said, okay, I'm praying. I find it. And all that time, I was thinking, now that's not like me to just lay it there. I know maybe I took it because I've been doing some weird stuff here lately. And I said, okay, guys, y'all pray that maybe it's in the house. And I think he said, he goes, it will be. We walked in, and there it was. And I don't even remember, you know, taking it out of the car and taking it in the house. But it was. And just like I told Sister Ann and Bonnie the other day, you know, talking about doing weird things, I cleaned a house for a lady for the last 15, 20 years. I can't remember how long, for a long time. And every other week, she puts the laundry in the dryer, the sheets, and then I just make her bed. And I put a pillowcase on the pillow, and I couldn't find the other pillowcase. And I was like, where is it? And I went everywhere, looked on the floor, looked in the dryer, came back, and I just grabbed the pillow that I had put the pillowcase in. I said, oh, Lord, help me find that pillowcase. And I looked inside at the top, and guess what I did? I put two pillowcases on the same pillow. Tell me, oh my God, that's crazy, because you would know you're doing it, but obviously my mind was not there. It was gone. So I thought, Lord, oh my goodness, help me, help my mind. Well, that same day, I couldn't find my shoes. I was getting ready to leave. And guess where they were? Outside. I'm like, when did I take them off? When did I go outside? So I thought, oh my goodness, Lord. I called Stan. I said, Stan, pray that I get home safe. I might end up in Benton or Hot Springs somewhere, you know. So I got home, and I, on the way to church Wednesday night, that was Wednesday, I told Natalie all about everything. I said, honey, if you see Thea going a different way, you said, Thea, that's not the way to church. This is the way, or whatever. She goes, okay, okay. And she always rides home with me whenever Michelle or, you know, not here of Keith. Anyway, that night she comes to me and goes, I'm going to ride home with my dad tonight. I said, okay. I thought, bless her heart. She probably don't want to end up Timbuktu somewhere, you know. And I thought, okay, Lord, it's you and me. Just get me home safe, you know. But I'm not worried anymore. I mean, I know I do. And everybody's saying, your brain's overload. And I said, well, what I want to need to do is overload it with God's. You know, I've been listening to a bunch of old tapes. By the way, I quit listening because my cassette, if anybody knows, it's stuck. The cassette is, the tape is stuck in there. I can't get it out. So if anybody knows how to do it, you know, without tearing it up. And I don't mind tearing up the tape because it's probably going to probably ruin it now. But, and that was a good one too. But I just have the CD now, and I've been listening to the one again. I listened to three times the one that Brother Smith was talking about two Sundays ago. It was so good, and you know, I'm trying to get it, you know, give my brain overload with God's things. And I listen to good music and all that stuff all the time, but I want to listen more to the Word of God. If I don't get everything here, you know, maybe I can get it, you know, later. And I like to be a testimony to myself. I mean, I want to encourage myself, because I don't want to get down. I hate the word depression, but this blood pressure, I think, just threw me into a state of depression where I just didn't want to go nowhere. But I still came to church, but I still was sitting like a, you know, a wet log, or I don't know the expression people use, just sit there. And I still was, you know, trying to praise the Lord, but I didn't have it in me to do it all. And I know that it was the blood pressure, because now I feel myself again. And I ask God to forgive me, because I don't want to use any excuses not to praise Him, because He's worthy of all my praise. And I want to continue to go forward, not backwards, because I know I've come a long ways, but I've got a long ways to go. And I know the only way I can do it is with God's grace and help. And that's another thing about the tape that I was, one of the tapes about Brother Linegar saying that you have to earn grace, and he was talking about it, but it went off, you know, like it was going to another tape, so I got to look for the other tape. So I think I talked to Philip about that, but I know that we're supposed to say, by God's grace, you know, I'm not going nowhere. I'm here to stay. I can't say I'm never going to leave, because, you know, you never know. I mean, a lot of people said that are gone, and I just don't want to be in that. I want to be planted in where he's the one that put me here. And by God, I'm, you know, he's the one that's going to take me out, and hopefully in a casket and not any other way. But anyway, I appreciate everybody here that's been part of my family. You know, like one of the posts on Facebook says that family is not only, it's not just blood, you know. It's family that you grew up with, you were around. I've been around you people more than I have my own natural. And I have so many. And here lately, they've been calling me and coming over to see me. And today I got two more calls from Texas. And I thought, wow, am I going to die? So many people have been so nice to me, you know. But Sister Ann said, well, it's coming back to you. You've been so nice to everybody. I'm like, okay, I'm going to look at it that way. Because, you know, I had two nieces and nephews come to see me Saturday night or Friday, whenever that was. But anyway, I'm just thankful, so thankful that that I do matter. I don't need my, like that song, I don't need my name in lights, because I'm famous in my Father's eyes. And I know that He loves me, and I can feel it. And He's proven it to me over and over again that he has never forsaken me. He's always come through. So why worry? Why worry and fret? Because he's never failed me yet. So I'm thankful again for my blood pressure.
He's talking about how, you know, you can look at a negative side or you can look at the positive side. And I was thinking, you know, you can even look at things that are negative in a positive way and make it seem better. I was reading James 1, 2, and this is a NIV version, so it's a little bit different from the King James. And it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And then in verse 12 it says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. I'm thankful to be here tonight.
Seen the European churches, they're beautiful. So we were in this church that was 1,000 years old, and the people over there, they love their churches mainly because it's their church. So I was in this church, and this priest, obviously he gave a short sermon about every hour, every 2 hours. And I don't know why I'm telling this, but this may mean something to somebody to do something, even if it is something small. But anyway, the priest walked to the front, and all the seats were empty. And I said to Charlotte, I said, well, I'm going to go to church. And so I went and sat down. I was the only one in the church. I don't remember what the priest said, but I have never forgotten the fact that God doesn't want you always to do something great big. It's obedience that he's asking for. Our life went on. I sat there and I don't know what I got out of it, but I do know that I got obedience, because in 2 weeks, Leon and I got on that real fast train, and we went from Mons, Belgium into Paris, France, and we went to Brother Pierre Falk's church. They're about 3 blocks from, he met us at the train station. And it's a long story, but Leon and I got stranded in Paris, France, and we spent the night on the sidewalk, and we were terrified, and it all worked out fine. I mean, Leon and I, he was on crutches, and it was scary. We were put out on the sidewalk at the point of a gun, and they had... And plus the dogs that are trained to put the people outside. So whether I had got a blessing, earlier blessing, and I used what I had attained, I don't know. But I do know this. That's been several years ago, and Leon's been dead now for several years. But I do know this, that if God tells you to do something, even though you think, if I can't do something big, I'm not going to do it. Don't have that attitude. I didn't. I had to get over that attitude. Because if God tells you to go someplace, there may be only one person that you're going to speak to. There may be a person that only sees you do an act for the Lord. But obey Him. I think obedience is one of the greatest things that I've ever had to learn, and I'm glad to be here tonight.
I want to stand to my feet and praise the Lord and thank the Lord that I'm here tonight. And I want to continue and tell you, in the 2 months I've been here, I've learned so much. As example of four stages of judgment that Pastor Smith just taught. And I started out today in the rainy day to find the most teachable thing that in the Bible that was taught that I could talk about. So, and I wanted to talk about this, a first stage, informative. God is teaching us. Now, as Sister Painter said, God will direct us. Now, He talks to us in different ways, and I want to say a few words about Him talking to us. In the Old Testament, God didn't come in a hurricane, and He didn't come in a great wind, but He came in a small, small voice. So, it was my objective today to tell about the greatest teaching in the Bible that God presented to a man in a short time, and this was in Luke 24. And you heard, and you, when I read down through and spent 3 hours reading through Luke, it turns out that there could be at least 10 different sermons on this. 10 different sermons on the road to Emmaus. And if to refresh your memory, Christ, the resurrected Christ, went with two Bible scholars that had been following, not the disciples, but the Bible scholars, to walk this 7.5 miles from Jerusalem down to Emmaus. And they did not, Christ walked with them and joined them and said, "Where have you been talking about?" And they said, You've been to some other planet. That's my other word. What's going on here?" And anyway, they spent 7 verses telling him about this. And the most important thing they told him, the empty tomb and the three greatest words that have ever come out of the mouth of the human race. And that is, "Christ has risen." Those two angels told the ladies, Mary, mother of Jesus, and the other women, "He's not here. His body is not here. He has risen." And "He has risen" is a key thing that I got out of that. Then Christ walked with them, and these two Bible scholars were so confused, they didn't know where they're confused from, and Christ sort of dressed them down and said, "What, you haven't even understood the words of the prophet?" And He started, I'm sure, with Psalms 22 of words from the cross, and He told them about Isaiah 53, about Christ being suffering and the whole area and being born of a virgin. And anyway, it turned out that as they were going down there, these two people got a private lesson from the God, the creator of the universe, as they walked that 7.5 miles. And He started the book of Moses and went through the area, and they did not recognize Him until after a very important 3 words was said. Christ made like He was going to just go on past their house, and they said the most important words, especially for Christ years. They said, "Come and be with us." And Christ joined them, and as they were at meat, the Bible says, and he broke bread and he blessed it, and their eyes was open and they knew it was Christ, and he disappeared. The key thing was those two Bible scholars, even though they'd walked 7.5 miles, that very hour, the verse 27 says, that very hour they went back to Jerusalem. And I suspect, filled with the Spirit, they made a landmark record of getting back to Jerusalem. And when they got back to Jerusalem, they said, "He is risen indeed." Now, here's the most famous words, not the words spoken from landing on the moon, but they said, "He has risen indeed." And, okay, from this, what I got out of it is Christ walks with us each day if our heart is right. Unseen. Now, occasionally, if our heart is right, we'll get a glimpse of Christ. Now, in my opinion, our glimpse of Christ is like Brother Phil said. We may see the reflection of Christ in a good person. We may see Christ in a small child that's needing help. We may see Christ in a minister preaching his heart out. So that is what I'm saying. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, in conclusion, the most important thing for us to remember as we go home and through the week, God is first step in dealing with us is to teach us, because knowledge of God and love of God and fear of God is a first step to wisdom. So what I want you to know and know as you go out the door is God's teaching college and God's teaching school is always open. Tuition is very low. So thank you so much. This whole teaching of the informative and the other steps has meant so much to me, and I am so glad that God is still working on me. Thank you very much, and thank God.
Praise report is that God loves me, and that's something to praise him about tonight. My praise report is that he's seen fit to hold me here among a people that have a vision and an understanding and a hunger and a desire for God, and he's seen fit to make me a part of that, and I want to praise him for that tonight. I was thinking about something about what Joseph was saying about looking at negative things in a positive way, finding joy in the trials because we're learning from the trials that we go through. It brought me back, I know I've talked about this before, but it brought me back a long, long time ago when I don't know how old I was, I might have been 5, 6, 7 years old, but I had a toy, and it was a Buzz Lightyear toy. But it wasn't just any Buzz Lightyear toy, it was a special Buzz Lightyear toy. I'm pretty sure it was some kind of special edition. It wasn't the regular colored Buzz Lightyear toy. It was a black, white, and silver Buzz Lightyear toy. And his armor was really shiny. So he was cool. And he was my favorite toy out of all the toys I had. And you'd push little buttons on him. His wings would pop out. He'd say really cool things. And I would never get tired of playing with him. But one day something happened, and I forgot to mention his helmet would light up every time I would hit a button. And that's an important part of the story, because eventually I would hit the buttons, he would talk, he would do these things, and his helmet would stop lighting up. And, I mean, that was a disappointing thing in itself, but he would continue to say things, and I was happy with it. But later on, I got the toy wet, because I was playing with a water hose, and I had my toys outside, and I got him wet, and he stopped working, and I would try to hit the buttons, his voice would sound all garbled, you couldn't understand anything he was saying, and it was a very disappointing thing. But so what I did was I got down, and I thought, well, maybe God can fix my toy. Maybe God can fix my toy and make it work. And I started praying over my toy. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, I'd been taught to pray and God would answer my prayers. But I promise you, after I prayed that God would fix my toy, I hit the button and he worked. His voice was the same as it was before. But not only that, the light in his helmet started working again. And I was thinking tonight about that, how much God blesses us even so much more than we may ask or expect him to do for us. Like, as I grow older, I'm facing newer trials, newer, you know, new experiences. I'm getting married here in about a week and a half, and I'm very, very excited about it. She's a wonderful girl, and wonderful. She loves God. Wonderful background. But, you know, it's a new experience. I'm going into unfamiliar territory. I'm facing new kinds of stresses. I'm starting to feel, you know, a little bit of financial stress, wondering, well, now I'm on my own. I have a house now. I'm paying for that. And I've got to pay for water bills and electric bills. I've got to pay for my gas and my car. I got to pay for groceries now, because my parents aren't going to be paying for that for me for much longer. And and I've been working hard. We've been wanting to take a trip to Orlando, and for right after our wedding, and I wasn't sure that we were going to be able to make that trip. And I was about ready to give up on trying to make that trip altogether. But for some reason or another, I don't know how it's worked out, but after praying that the Lord would let this trip work out, I have the finances to take that trip. Not only that, I have the finances to fly rather than drive. And I'm a little more along with that. I'm not stressed about whether or not I'm going to be able to make that trip. When I look back and I think, what was I worried about? What was I worried about? Because it seems so simple now. And my uncle talks sometimes about how about his dogs when he was watching. It was when Katrina hit, and he was watching TV, and his dog's eyes weren't on that TV. The dog's eyes were on his ham sandwich, and about how much they know he's going to provide for their needs, and they're not worried about what's going on TV. I shouldn't be concerned about my little petty trials like that, because I'm part of something much greater. I'm part of God's work, and I don't want to be so concerned with whether or not I'm going to pay this electric bill, and whether or not I'm going to be able to pay this water bill, and whether I'm going to be able to afford this and that, because God works that out for me as long as I do my best to serve him and to do his work. And I'm thankful that I'm here learning to do his work and learning to be a part and learning the doctrines that we have, learning my place and building the house. Like Brother Phil said, I don't know my place. I don't know what role the Lord may necessarily want me to fill in building the house, because I'm not an electrician. I'm certainly not an interior designer, a decorator, and I don't know what skill what part in God's work God may want me to perform, but I know I've got some great instructors, some instructors in the ministry, some experienced electricians, experienced painters, experienced foundation formers, concrete workers, there's a better term for it, experienced concrete workers that I can learn from, that are going to that I can watch and learn how to work, learn how to build the house, and I can be a part of that. And another part of learning a trade, and I know because I do concrete work, and a lot of what I've learned and how to work with the concrete, how to get the right consistency of water, and how to tell whether it's the right consistency of water, and how to tell whether the color matches or not with the last load of concrete I poured. A lot of it came with experience. An exercise of that skill. So I can't just watch my instructors all the time. I have to exercise that skill myself. I have to get up and talk. I have to get up and praise. I need to raise my hands. I need to play an instrument. I need to sing. I need to dance. I need to praise Him. I want to be a part. I want to expand on that skill and be able to give more to the work that He's doing here. Give more to the work in building God's house, because if I don't fill a place, someone else will fill it. And I could miss out on that honor of being able to build God's house, of being able to build that wall, being able to build His church that He's forming in this world that's going to be a light to those around us. And maybe along the way, if I'm enthusiastic enough about my work, maybe I can recruit some more builders. Get some more people interested in building, because we need builders. We need people with a passion to work, because you can tell the difference in a worker that is not passionate about what they do and a worker that is passionate, that enjoys his job, that has a respect for his job, is going to do a better job. And God, the master carpenter, our employer, is going to want people that are enthusiastic about the job. He's not going to hire people that are going to sit and just kind of piddle and not do the work that He's called them to do. And He's a merciful God. An employer has to be merciful to a certain extent, because people are we're human beings. We're not perfect. We make a mistake here and there. But in the end, if I'm not holding up my side, if I'm not building His church, He'll find somebody else to do my job for me. And I don't want to forget that. I want to remember that I have a place here. He's given me an employment, and I want to respond to that. I want to build on that. I want to build the house that He's building. I want to build the church that He's building. So let's not take our positions for granted. I don't want to take mine for granted. It's so easy to get tired of working, to want to sit back and take a drink, but we have a quota to meet. I think I'm done with all the analogies, but I'm just excited about what He's doing. I feel like God's working in His people. I feel like God's touching our lives, and it was so good to hear the report, to hear us giving Him a praise today about the things He's done for us, to hear about how enthusiastic Joseph is about the trials that we're going to go through, that we can look at these things and we can use these trials as a chance to learn. If I'm sitting back and these trials are coming out, I know the Lord's not going to give me a trial I can't handle. If I'm going through something, there's a reason I'm going through that. And if He's giving me a greater trial, I want to praise Him for that, because apparently He thinks I can handle it. And if He gives me a greater trial and a greater one after that, praise God, I can handle it. I can handle it. I can serve Him no matter what. No matter how hard it gets, I can serve Him. It will never be too hard to serve God. It will never be too hard to serve God. It may be difficult, but it will never be too difficult. So praise God. I'm thankful to be here tonight.
might want to keep this in mind for the next year and the rest of your life. When you're going through something and you don't know what to do, pray to God and maybe He'll turn the lights on. Sometimes you don't know what to do. I like it. That's great. That's a great testimony of what the Lord can do and what we should do, especially when we're going through something. You don't know what to do. Now, that's going to come multiple times in life and relationships and everything, every endeavor man tries to do. And I'm going to go home tonight and pray about some things. Maybe the lights will come on, you know, up here. And that's wonderful. But I'm thankful. Thankful for the words that I've heard tonight of encouragement and the reinforcing. I think that we're still actually working on the foundation a little bit. We're trying to reinforce something here. You know, we see a building in construction, and people have come and laid foundations, and yet sometimes you got to go back and drive in some reinforcement. And that's, you know, that's why I'm so glad to be a part of God's kingdom, what He's doing here tonight. And I know they're having a great time in Oklahoma City, and we sure miss everybody. But I believe we're having a great time here tonight, too, in the Lord.
I've even got my finger right there. I remember when Brother Sam Velez was here years ago, and he would stick all his fingers in his Bible and just act like he was going to get up and go over all those scriptures, and he'd look over at me, and I was like, yeah, sure you are. But I was thinking today about, it's been a gray week. A lot of people, seems like a lot of discouragement going around, and a lot of pressure at work, as always. And I've thought many times of that scripture, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I've always wanted to know, how did he pull that off? You know, what's the old saying? You can't pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. So how did David encourage himself? So I did a little bit of reading about that today. And you know, the whole story goes, you know, up to that point in David's life, he had been blessed. He had defeated Saul. He had defeated, you know, the crowds shouted in the streets, Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his 10,000s. And you can imagine how that made David feel. That'd be pretty hard not to, you know, get pretty puffed up about it. You know, the very man that you were, you know, replacing. And it's, in the way the story goes, David went on a trip with his men, and when he came back, the Amalekites had came down and destroyed his city. That he had his wife, he had two wives, all his children, all his men's children, everything he owned had been taken by the Amalekites. And he went from being hero to zero in just almost immediately. I mean, he went from being a great man and everybody loved him to they were actually talking about stoning him. They were going to stone David. And it says in the Bible that David encouraged himself in the Lord. So I did a little bit of looking around and reading other texts and thoughts on it. And what I come up with, the way he encouraged himself in the Lord was he looked back on what God had done for him in the past. And that is, those things had built his faith. You know, no doubt when he was encouraging himself in the Lord, he was thinking about facing Goliath. He was thinking about killing that bear. He was thinking about killing that lion. He was thinking about the things that God had blessed him with. And then he went down. And it never says in the Bible, couldn't find it anyway, how many Amalekites that he went after. But he went after, he prayed about it, and the prophet told him to go after the Amalekites. God's going to deliver them into your hand. And he left with 600 men to attack the Amalekites. And 200 of those men grew faint and stayed back with the supplies. So then he only had 400 men. And it almost starts sounding like a Gideon story again. And then it says he came across the Amalekites, and they never said how many of them that there were, but it says that they covered the plains. Well, covering the plains, that's a good bit more than 400. I mean, I don't care who's doing the counting. And it said that David started the slaughter, and I mean, I can't even remember how long the battle went on, but it was like, let's see. David smote them from twilight even until the evening of the next day. That's a lot of slain. And got everything back that he had taken from him, and probably more. And then when he went back, he came across with all the spoils of this war, of this battle. What struck me as David being a man after God's own heart, he came across the 200 men that had become faint and divided the spoils of that battle with those men. And the 400 men that fought in the battle, no doubt were got upset about it. What do you mean? They stayed back? You know, but David's thought was, God blessed us with this battle. You know, God blessed us with this big victory. Just paraphrasing David, how could we withhold that blessing from our brothers? And I thought that today, and you know, it's been a rough week. But you know, I want to encourage myself, and the way I encourage myself is by looking back at what God has brought us through. And I, you know, Sister Linda talked about it and trying to encourage herself, and Caleb talked about, you know, going through things and you know, looking at where God brought us from and looking what He's brought us through, and I want to be thankful for everything that He's done and continues to do for us.
Where the Lord has brought us, look where the Lord has brought us. He's brought us a mighty, mighty.